You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number three, Mino the Mayor, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. Of course, the Civic Media app in 1590 AM and 1100 AM. We've got a great show. We've had a great show going all the way through and very heavily football themed.
All right.
Without even trying.
Yep.
Jeannie Bruette, of course, gatekeeper to the stars, as I like to call her, back in the day with the Packers. And got Tanner Bordellini of the Indianapolis Colts coming up. But first, Spencer Larson, Stadium Services Manager, Green Bay Football Packers and the Packer Hall of Fame. Not a bad gig, Spencer.
I would think you weren't the only one that applied.
Very fortunate, for sure.
That's awesome.
But you know what's cool? We were just talking here in between, and Jim and I always talk about that. When you have an interest in something, and like you said, you started as a bat boy and worked your way through, that experience, somewhere along the line, that has come back to really be beneficial, hasn't it?
It has. It was incredible. Like 13 years old, I started with the Tim Bradlers as a bat boy, like grew up right down the street in Appleton and, you know, lived a couple other places. And to work for the Packers every day is really incredible. It's a dream come true.
That's awesome. I'm sure it is a dream come true. Tell me, about getting the job. I think there's a lot of people listening that I teach at TC and people are always like, can you get me in with the Packers? I'm like, not really. But people want to work for, a very ethical, well-known organization. I mean, there's Schreiber, Schneider, people like to be part of something bigger than they are. How did you work?
Sure. At the time I was living in Minnesota, working for the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. And there's a site where all the jobs in sports are posted, Teamwork Online, it's called. And it's all the postings. So there's internships, full-time positions. And I was just kind of scrolling through. It was actually Twitter at the time and saw the job posting. And I loved my job over in Minnesota. Incredible position. And I would have probably only left for a job with the Packers. And I applied and had a phone interview, had a couple Zoom interviews because it was during COVID at that time. And kind of wild, like my first day coming to Lambeau Field, I had never met any of those people in person. It was all on Zoom or over the phone. So kind of a unique time.
Wow. Well, congrats to you. I mean, that's going to be great. So tell us, what do you do?
What's your day to day?
Sure. No,
because we BS for a living. So what do you do for a living?
Yeah. No 2 days are ever the same, which is a great part of the position. But I oversee the Hall of Fame and stadium tours at Lambeau Field. So game weekends are really busy for us. We'll have over 5,000 people coming through. But for both departments, right now we have 70 or so tour guides. We have 25 to 30 people working at the Hall of Fame desk. So just all the day-to-day operations, budgeting, planning ahead for exhibits, just everything.
Isn't it kind of amazing when you see people who walk in there, like maybe for the first time or whatever, and they're taking a picture? I mean, their eyes are like wide, aren't they?
It is. You know, there's not too many places I tell people where you're walking into your office, like through the parking lot, and there's people taking pictures right outside. You know, you're at a special place and that's happening.
And how cool is that the Packers did it right? I mean, that Hall of Fame can rival Canton. The atrium, just everything
you
that
said
the Packers.
It's better.
I think it's better. I just think the Packers have really done a good job. But share with us a little bit of a lot of visitors. You're always busy, but they're not all from Wisconsin.
They're not, especially during like training camp time. It's not unusual for a tour of 30, 35 people for every single person to be outside the state, sometimes outside the Midwest.
Outside the country, you keep a list of people. I don't know how many countries have been to Lambeau, but it's incredible the reach that team has.
It is, yeah, all to Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, any day of the year, like today, we'll probably have someone from outside the country that comes through to visit.
Right.
You know, I know you guys have the Hall of Fame spectacular, but I know you guys have a big storage room because people, you just like military museums, a lot of stuff you just can't put out at the times. I know you guys have one of those rooms, right? I do not want to bother you guys. So if you want to just give me the code to get in one day, I'll just do it on my own. I'll just take a look at it, and I'll just lock it up when I leave. Can we work that out? Because I know you're busy.
Back is trucking.
Yeah. It's just pretty cool. Thousands of items in there. We actually did a virtual history night through our Hall of Fame programming.
Yeah.
Where we gave a tour sort of that space and looked at some of the artifacts in that area. But yeah, it's a pretty impressive storage.
Yeah. Space. I mean, there's some stuff that I know you guys are just trying to find a way to get it out there that it's really unique.
Yes, definitely. And we do rotate items through the Hall of Fame to give those items a chance to showcase.
Did you get the jersey that that guy found at Goodwill? Or not jersey, the sweater that Vince Lombardi wore when he was at West Point and he bought it for like $3 at Goodwill. Do you remember that a few years back?
I'm not sure. We'll have to check our inventory for that one.
Yeah. that was, you know, one thing they've never found, correct me if I'm wrong. I know you're not the what do you call this? Archivist?
Curator.
Curator. I know you're not him, but you know what I know they still look for is the old Acme Packer jerseys. Yeah. They've never found one. Isn't that something?
Really?
They don't even have one there. I believe. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I don't think anybody's, I don't think one is in existence.
They're, very difficult to find, for sure. We'll have to check the inventory for that one, too, and check with our curator.
That Hall of Fame, you know, people.
I'd be a hell of a curator. I just want you to know that, in case anything happens with him or her or them.
Stay where you're on. Stay the course. What I like about the Hall of Fame is you also host events. And if you're bringing people in from outside the state, you know, and especially these international, I didn't go to a lot of those, but we've hosted events there. And it's just the best place. The food's awesome. The service is great. Plus, you know, sometimes if you're just in a ballroom, you kind of want to shake that guy a little bit, you know, whereas there you can kind of just go and see Lombardi's desk to what?
Maybe they want to shake you.
Yeah.
Maybe it goes both ways.
Yeah.
But it is a great place for those kind of gatherings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do quite a few of those throughout the year, and sometimes it's appetizers and drinks. Sometimes it's just like a corporate scavenger hunt that people do through the Hall of Fame. So a lot of options, but we're always happy to showcase the space.
Tell us a little bit about Sunday, what you got going on over there.
Yeah, big event on Sunday with Verizon. I think it's like 2,500 people coming out.
Really?
So it should be a very large scale, fun event. For our department, we're offering sort of a abbreviated tour option where people can get down to field level, do some photos in that space. But with that volume of people coming through, you know, it's a pretty abbreviated tour.
Wow.
It has to be.
Yeah.
You got to start today, otherwise get that many through.
And is that right? The locker room too is open? Did you know? Did you hear that? They told us that. Maybe you don't know that, but you're the Hall of Fame guy.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but we'll get people down to field level at least and get some good photos down
there. That's awesome.
You know what's cool? Another thing too, I don't know, not too much made about this in the media or anything like that, but you guys have done such a great job making sure the alumni are still involved and still welcomed. And when I talked, like last time we had Frankie Winters on the show, he was driving up to come to the thing. I'm Mikowski's. I mean, a lot of the guys we've had on this year, Don Davey, they always really look forward to coming back for those.
You guys treat them right.
You guys really treat, they enjoy that, don't they?
Yeah, it's great. And for our area, we do alumni tours too. So we do about 80 or so of those probably a year. Antonio Freeman, we have out quite a bit. Leroy Butler, Frank Winters has done them. All the guys you just mentioned have done alumni tours for us. And it not only adds to the guest experience, but it's great to just keep them incorporated as well.
We're at Spencer Larson, Stadium Services Manager, Green Bay Packers and the Packers Hall of Fame.
So they're a common thread. I mean, you get all ages, right? I mean, it's not just sports people that go there. It's just a necessary stop if you're probably in the Midwest, really. People make the effort to come there. I mean, that's got to be awfully exciting to meet so many people.
It is. It's great. And for the Hall of Fame museum space, we really try to focus on appealing to all ages. Like, we have interactives. Right. We added a couple of years ago, like, a Gilbert Brown interactive that's also a skeleton that mimics your movements. So even if you're a five-year-old, you know, you raise up your hand and the screen is mimicking those movements. And we added an interactive display a couple of years ago now, too, where you can immerse yourself in history and you're throwing a football, you're making a motion like you're throwing a pass, and it's either one of our huge quarterbacks in history, you know, Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, or Brett Favre that you're working with there.
Do you worry, and have you had, like the Louvre Museum? I mean, have people tried to, like, steal stuff there? I just think that's, some people are, like, crazy passionate about the Packers.
we haven't had too many issues. We have a mannequin display, and I think one of the gloves went missing at one point, but nothing too significant.
I know.
John, give it back.
What? What? Tell me a little bit about your background to get to some of it, because I know there's people that are thinking, boy, my son or my daughter would love to get into the sports marketing, sports whatever, anything involved with sports that's not coaching, they would like to be involved. Give a little background. Give a little bit about what you did that led you to sitting right here.
Sure. My parents brought me to a lot of Tim Bradley games growing up.
And what high school did you go to?
Appleton West.
Okay.
Right. Growing up. So I think I just bugged Nikki enough times to force me to be a bat boy at some point and started as a bat boy.
You guys got a guy in the major leagues from Appleton West.
Right, we do. Danny Jansen, one of my good friends.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely. He grew up a block away from me. And
no.
We played varsity baseball together at Appleton West.
Wow. That's cool.
He was far more talented than I was.
Man, he was far more talented than almost anybody.
Yeah, he was a freshman when I was the senior.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes to show you.
Absolutely. Wow. Go ahead. What else then from there?
Yeah, I did a couple internships. So I did an internship with the Tim Bradlers, of course, and then Madison Mallards as well. So summer collegiate baseball team.
They still play in that old stadium right downtown kind of with the...
Yeah, Warner Park.
That's cool.
They pack them in.
With the big old stone type fences from like, it almost looks like the natural type of stadium.
It is. It's really cool. It's a nice design and they've made some nice upgrades to it, of course, too, but it still has that historic feel. Worked in Eau Claire for the Eau Claire Express for 3 to 4 years, which was really enjoyable. And then before I came to the Packers, I was the guest experience manager for the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center, worked all the Wild hockey games and concerts that came through there. So that was a really exciting position too.
Great, great way of getting there. But I got a feeling some of those early days, you weren't shopping for a new car every year. I got a feeling some of those days are pretty lean. Because it's great to have those positions, but you don't get paid a lot to start out with, do you?
No, you pay your dues for sure. Like in Madison, I think I paid more to park my car than what I made that summer. You know, but and the landscape's changed a little bit now, which is great for sports, just like minor league baseball, and they've made a lot of great additions.
Is it Northland? I mean, or the Northwoods rather, these leagues? I mean, if somebody wants to play baseball, there's a league for you.
There is, and summer collegiate baseball for sure.
Yeah.
There's leagues all over the place, and it's really a great place to showcase talent, and I enjoyed all my summers working there.
You must have seen a lot of other stadiums, Hall of Fames. Do you, anything that rivals us or is better?
I've seen a lot of, like, museums and spaces. You know, I haven't been to Canton before, so I'd like to experience that one. A lot of them have been virtual, so there's some I'd like to see in person.
Yeah.
Like Steelers just opened a museum a year ago, which looks really nice. I'm excited to check that out.
There you go. That's awesome.
We got to start a quick break. Can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Spencer Larson, Stadium Services Manager, Green Bay Packers, the Packers Hall of Fame. Back right after this, Tanner Bordolini joining us at 8:34. When you get on my nerves like you do, well, baby, you know you bug me. There ain't no secret about that. But come on over here and hug me. Baby, I'll spill a fact. Well, honey, it ain't your money. Cause, baby, I got plenty of that. I love you for your
pain. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the mirror here at 97.9 FM WGBW. Do we have time for another laughter at 21 after?
Yeah, we do.
Here
you want to do it right now?
Yes, Spencer, get a load of this guy. He's coming to the Rush.
On the 15th. Yep, that's right. February 15th. Here we go. Laughter at 21 after.
Now, Mino and the Mayor's laughter at 21 after.
My wife and I, we don't go out on the weekends because I generally work. So we go out on Tuesday. That's our date night. Everybody says, you have to have a date night when you have kids. I'm like, you need a date night. For you and your wife to connect. So now we go out and we argue without the kids. It's nice. It's nice. We get a lot more accomplished without the kids being there. It's good.
The one and only Sebastian Maniscalco is bringing his Laugh Out Loud comedy to the Rush Center Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. Call or text in now for your chance to win. 920-264-0606. That's 920-264-0606. Or text in on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor's Laughter at 21 After on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
That guy's funny. And the humor is so much just telling real stories, real-life stories. And
Nate Bargatze's making $1 billion a year doing that.
Anyway, we like comedians. There was just something at the Cup of Joy we were at with that Jeff Allen, and I... And clean comedians. This guy sounds, you know, this guy's going to be funny. So anyway, back to the Hall of Fame, which is another great attraction here. How much in advance do people need to contact you if they want to have an event? I mean, you must be, like, hitting on
slammed.
A lot of slammed.
Yeah, we have quite a few. So it's based on availability, of course. Typically a couple months ahead, we'll book. It's common for people to do something else within the building and then add on like Hall of Fame stadium tours. But for events in the Hall of Fame, just, you know, month or two ahead is fine to reserve the space.
You want to drop any big names that have come through there? Or can't you do that? You guys are pretty quiet over there.
Yeah, a lot of alumni have come through.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people from all walks of life. Sometimes people from The Rush like come across the street and
come
through and check it out. Or Epic
the entertainers, the singers and stuff. Yeah,
yep, for
that's
sure.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Let me ask you this though, Spencer. And again, just going back to you know, how you got here. Okay. And Jim and I talk about this all the time. And I remember my internship was the most valuable thing I ever had when I was a kid. I bet you stress to the kids like I do. It doesn't matter what the job is. It doesn't matter what the pay is. None of that stuff matters. It's making a good impression. What that can lead to is huge, or it can be an absolute roadblock. Boom, you're done. Isn't that the case?
I agree. Yeah, and the connections you make along the way, I think it's something like, 80% of people like work in a field they didn't major in too. So people switch all the time. And the connections you make, like especially sports and entertainment, like people move around so much. Like even if you do an internship with, say, the Packers, you know, there's opportunities across sports and entertainment to work after that.
And I think students, and you can probably attest to this given your background, but you really can't focus on the money. I mean, I tell my students all the time, you know, just don't focus on money, focus on what you're doing, the money will come. And it does. And I remind them of be nice to people, because somebody that you're not, they may buy your company. We live in a capitalist society. I mean, people move around, they do different things, there's freedom of choice, and good rule to you. I'm not saying what goes around comes around. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, be kind, and there's a good chance someone's going to remember that.
Definitely. And the experience you get is great. And yeah, there's a lot of people that, you know, if you do what you love, I think you don't work a day in your life,
right?
Or at least you're a lot happier than someone that's, you know, maybe making a ton of money and miserable.
Does Whitewater have a program, like sports management program?
They
is that why you went there?
Not sports management. So they had the brand new business school when I went there, which I'm dating myself now because it's over a decade now.
Oh, but, we weren't going to have any old people anymore.
But
well,
no,
we used to be able to smoke in class, so that just tells you how old we are.
No, but marketing major, so I, you know, business focus, but not sports management, so they don't have that program specifically.
Does anybody, like if some young kid or if a parents of some young kids listening, they want to get, is there any college that gives anything like that?
Yeah, lacrosse does, I believe. Parkside, I think, has sport management too, or they used to at least. So those are a couple in the state, at least that I know of.
I would have loved that when I was going to college. You know what I mean? Have something like that where it's like, this is like preparing you for that great job. I think that'd be cool. But again, you had that interest. You're a bat boy. You did whatever you could do to be involved with sports. So you talk about your passion and you just followed that, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I played sports all my life, and I was a lot better working in sports, I think, than playing in sports. So it just kind of worked out that way. But yeah, I brought that same passion and energy like into the professional field.
Awesome. Very
so
cool.
You're a young guy. You're going to own a team someday. You're going to help other people build what the Packers have built. And I think that's a real potential job, right? To help other teams build a Hall of Fame, to build just this whole customer relations that you've been so focused on here in Lambeau and Green Bay.
Sure, it is. Like, we work with a lot of other teams now that'll reach out to us. They're either just starting a Hall of Fame, like Steelers we talked to, like just recently. Chiefs have a museum space. You know, a number of other teams that are looking to kind of add one now, and we collaborate and share ideas. And
I would invest in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. I think that's going to be pretty well sought after. So,
what are you guys doing for the draft?
So museum space. We have our NFL draft exhibit, which is actually open now. So that's really exciting. And the museum, the Hall of Fame museum, is within the draft footprint. So a lot kind of remains to be seen as the hours and what we'll all have to offer. But we're so excited to showcase Green Bay and Lambeau Field.
You know, that's the one thing I get asked that. Hey, Mino, tell me about the draft. I don't know. I mean, they kind of dole out information as needed. Don't you agree? I mean, not that again, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, we've got a Super Bowl coming up right now, but I think after that, there's going to be a lot more information for all of us, right?
I think so, yeah, because NFL had like the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl, so it just kind of goes in cycles, but as it gets closer, there'll be a lot more information out there, but for our area, I mean, we're just so excited to bring as many people as possible through the museum space and show them the draft exhibit that we have to offer, and there'll be so many, I mean, events and programs, and it's going to be an incredible experience.
How much are you renting your house for?
Yeah, my wife said no to that. So.
Oh, well.
That's awesome.
Well, exciting stuff, though, happening right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Right.
Nikki, come here.
Opportunity for you guys, but just an opportunity for so many people to really be on the world stage for that 4 or 5
days. He said he remembers you back when you were nice.
Yeah.
Come on and say hello.
You signed this guy's
check.
Come
on, say hello, Nikki. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Walks away in disgust.
Yeah.
Spencer.
He's got something on her.
Spencer Larson, Stadium Services Manager, Green Bay Packers in the Hall of Fame. Love to have you on again when it's closer to the draft, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations
for
everything
you
you've done.
It's awesome.
All right. We're going to set a quick break. Tanner Bordellini of the Indianapolis Colts joining us next.
Part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from the stormy shores of Kewaunee, Wisconsin, a young man who grew up with dreams of gridiron glory as he took the field for the Storm of Kewaunee. They stormed their way through the conference, through the state, to a state championship. But that's not where the glory ended, because a team from down the road by the name of the Badgers of the University of Wisconsin made a trip to that quaint little town of Kewaunee. And they signed a man-child by the name of Tanner Bordellini, who not only excelled on the gridiron and the classrooms and downtown Madison on Saturday nights, but now has etched out a career in the National Football League. Ladies and gentlemen, from your Indianapolis Colts, Tanner Bordellini.
All right. Welcome, Tanner.
Well, that was one hell of an introduction right there.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve it, Tanner. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Congratulations, man. You got through year number one of the National Football League. You started a game. You made all the highlights by high-fiving everybody on the sidelines. Tell me about what that was like in your first season.
It was awesome. It was a great experience year one. Obviously, you never know how it's going to be. And rookie year, there's a big learning curve to it. The NFL, you know, going from high school to college, college to the NFL, there's always a jump with every level of the game. But it took me a little bit to get the hang of everything, and then finally getting some action early on was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I think you just see that clip of me running down the sideline, high-fiving everyone, and those emotions are real. I mean, it's just you get so excited to get out there, and you're thinking like the whole week, like, man, we're going against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Like, we're going against the Steelers. Everyone tells you how good their defensive front is, and then, you know, for it to be your first drive ever as a rookie and then go score a touchdown on a defense that's supposed to be all that and then some was a pretty surreal feeling.
Do you ever have to sit sometimes during meetings and almost like say to yourself, wow, I'm really here? Like when you guys are doing a scouting report, it's somebody that you've been watching for 8 years in the National League, National Football League, or maybe in a Super Bowl or whatever. It's like, I'm going to be hitting that guy this week. Is that kind of cool?
Absolutely. And I think one of the big moments for me was in practice, I was getting to take snaps with Joe Flacco. And I was like, wow, like, that's Joe Flacco.
I've
like,
heard of that guy.
He played in the Super Bowl when the lights went out. Like, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And now now I'm talking to him, like, just like, you know, he's one of the guys. And it's just, it's such a crazy thing. You know, you go from being a kid and watching a lot of players grow up to now you've grown up and you can play against these guys. You know, we got to play against Aaron Rodgers in New York this year. I'm like, wow. Like, I just used to watch this guy all the time as a kid for like the last 10 years of my life. And now we're playing against them.
I hope you never lose that, Tanner. Do you know what I mean? I hope it never becomes mundane. I hope you always have those thrills like that.
No, I think it's always something that you will have. And it's just crazy to, you know, watch the TV during lunch and be like, oh, damn, that's us. Like, that's us on TV right there. They're talking about us. But it's pretty cool. And, you know, just being from, like, a small town like Kewaunee, it's just crazy how far it's come.
That's awesome.
I think you're living every kid's dream, you know, especially, you know, small town Kewaunee, Madison, and the Colts. What was the biggest surprise, though? I mean, you talk about people that went, from college to the NFL. Anything shock you, or were you well-schooled before you went in?
Maybe that first paycheck did.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was pretty nice. That was pretty nice. But I think it's just the attention to detail and the level of everything. You know, you go from college, and I think in college there's really good players, and then there's okay players that you can probably get away with doing things not perfect at all times. But in the NFL, everyone's good. The bad players are really good, and the good players are really, really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you make mistakes that are self-inflicted, they'll make you pay for those. And I think that was a big thing for me early on was that things I used to maybe be able to get away with, you can't do that anymore. So it really comes down to your attention to detail, working on the things you need to improve on, and making sure that, you know, your areas of deficiencies, that you continuously work on them, improve on them, and then do what you can to kind of maximize your strength.
I would think you came in with a pretty good foundation, though. I mean, Wisconsin, I mean, legendary for turning out offensive linemen. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman in the United States, there aren't many schools better suited to prepare you for the pros than Wisconsin. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, and I think just year in, year out, they've done an outstanding job of having guys, you know, go to the NFL, have success. And it's just something like it's part of the legacy you want to be a part of going in there is that you kind of knew that that's the standard of that room, that group, and that if it's something you want to be a part of, you have a really good chance to go. And I think the craziest thing when I was a kid, even looking back now, I talked to my dad, and the harder thing was to actually go to Wisconsin originally than it was to go from Wisconsin to the NFL, because that just shows you how many guys they turn out that go be NFL products leaving that place.
And Tanner, tell me about the leadership in the locker room. I mean, these sports guys are, oh, they got a strong locker room. This guy's good in the locker room, not good. How is it in your locker room? Like, what do you look for, and who are some of the leaders?
Well, I think we have a really good locker room, really close team. And it's different, obviously, than the college locker room. You know, guys have families now. They have kids. So, you know, you go from being in college where it's like, all right, who wants to come over after? Like, well, now guys have a lot more responsibility on their plate, which is, you know, totally fair. But I think we had a lot of really good veteran leaders, you know, DeForest Buckner, Ryan Kelly, AR did a good job this year. I think JT especially, I mean, offensively, those are the guys I interact with the most right there. But I think those are some phenomenal leaders that we had, and they're guys that have been doing it for a long time, you know, at a high level where you can look at them, look at the careers that they've had, and they've done things that you want aspire to do in your career. So what are things you can learn from them, pick their brain about? What things do they do to get themselves that edge that they've had for so long?
Now, when you said JT, you're talking Jonathan Taylor, the former great running back from Wisconsin.
Yep.
I mean, an incredible running back. Tanner Bordellini, our very special guest here.
Yeah, that's – and are they good about sharing information? Sometimes you hear these stories where they're – I don't know. They don't treat the rookies as well as they should, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, the vets were good. And I think the thing when you come in is that – they could be assholes. And, like, I, you know, being a rookie, I understand that. Like, you're coming in, they drafted you, and they're drafting you to take someone's job, which,
yeah,
you know, no one likes that. So if they wanted to be assholes, they could be, and I would completely understand that. But I'm really happy that we had a really good group of guys around me that were more than happy to help me develop, learn. They weren't afraid to answer questions. They weren't afraid of competition. They were just looking to try and do what they could to help me find success, and that was a really huge part of it.
You have a colorful owner. Does he interact with you much?
Yeah, so he's around the building all the time. Really cool guy. It's an interesting guy for sure. But Mr. Irsay's lived a full life, and he's just a player's owner, I think, where, you know, he wants to be involved in the organization. He wants to be involved in the big decision-making, and he wants the team to succeed. I think it's something you feel when you enter the building. He wants to win just as badly as you do.
That's cool.
Hey, Tanner, what was that first thing that you bought for yourself with that money where it's like, oh, I got to tell Mom I bought this, where you could write out a really nice check or hand out a piece of plastic and buy whatever you want? What was it?
Oh, actually, the first week I was there, I got my truck stolen.
Oh.
So unanticipated, my big first purchase was a truck.
So somebody stole your truck? What, from an apartment complex or at the stadium? Or
they had a stay at a hotel probably like 10 minutes north of the facility. So I wake up one morning, walk down. I'm like, huh, it's really weird. I thought I like parked right here. And, you know, I'm from Kewaunee, so, like, I used to leave my keys in the ignition in my car in high
school. Good idea.
Now I lock it, right? Like, the windows are rolled up. And I walk down. Like, that's just really weird. I thought I parked right here. So I end up finding the security camera footage. Like, you see 4 a.m., somebody comes in, breaks, like, the back window, hot wires it, peels out. And it's never happened. I've never had a friend that's had a car stolen. So I ended up truck being my first big purchase. But
wow. It was a wild start. Wow. Well, wait a minute. Well, the one thing, though, so that wasn't your truck from Kewaunee, was it? Because I don't think anybody would steal a truck with rust on it, would they?
It was a little nicer one, but I couldn't believe it myself. I was like, wow, that was unreal. But it happened like to like three people in like 24 hours while we were there. And then they brought security on after that.
Wow.
But it was kind of like a band-aid on a bullet hole at that point, you know?
Wow. Hey, Tanner, we were talking a little bit. I remember your mom telling me, I mean, I don't know how many years it would be now, 6-7 years ago maybe, where you guys were like flabbergasted that the University of Syracuse was going to offer you a scholarship or whatever. You weren't one of, I mean, you were always a great player, you know, big fish in the small town type thing, but it didn't seem like you were projecting all the way down the field. Like, it seemed like you wanted Kewaunee to win, then you wanted the Badgers to win. Now you want the Colts to win. But you weren't one of those people where their parents kind of groomed them early on. You're going to be in the pros someday. And it seems like everything that came your way, you really appreciated.
Absolutely. And I think that's the benefit of it all, is that it was never an expectation. So everything that kind of happens, you're just grateful it is happening. You do everything you can to, you know, continue to find that success and continue to have those things happen. But I mean, all you can really do at the end of the day is just appreciate, you know, where you come from, how you got here, how you got to this point, who will help you get there. And I think that's something that's been huge for me, is that it feels like every person in every step of the way has really impacted this. And I don't think I would get there without all those people that helped me out along the way.
And one other question for you, I just have to ask, you got any plans to help out Kewaunee in any way, shape, or form, or the football program, or the weight room, or anything like that?
So we're working on it now. Still trying to figure it all out year one.
Yeah.
But definitely something I'm looking at doing in the future. You know, and so obviously want to give kids from Kewaunee that same opportunity and same chance I had, if not a better one.
Hey, I got to ask you one last question. I'll let Jim finish it up. But how disappointing was it? And how dose of a reality did it come as far as how good high school football is when the Kewaunee Storm went up to the Ngani Miners hometown this year and got beat?
it's actually a tough one to watch. It's on the program now. Shit.
Yeah. So Ngani is one of those schools you don't want to mess with, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right. They're turning out so many NFL people there.
Yeah.
Out of Ngani.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go.
Yeah. Hey, Tanner, just real quickly, yep. Just a piece of advice for some kid. I mean, like I said, you're living everyone's dream. Do you just. Couple sentences on what you think the advice should be for someone who's good.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, success comes down to consistency, and it's always easy to set a goal or an aspiration when you're in the mood to do it. It's hard to do it when you wake up and you don't want to do it. And those are the days that matter most. It's when you don't feel like getting up, going to work out. You don't feel like doing the extra practice, the extra reps, whatever it is. The days that you don't want to do it are the ones that really determine whether you're going to be successful or not. So finding a way, finding a will to do it when you're not feeling in the mood or really want to do it is the key. And I think that's what a lot of kids really should emphasize.
That is phenomenal advice.
You know, not just for kids, for everybody.
Right, for this show. Right? Yeah. For this radio show.
Yeah. Don't phone it in. I mean, that's be there awesome. Even if you don't want to be there. That's great advice,
that
Tanner.
That separates the two different types.
Fun watching you.
Yep.
Good luck. Continued success.
So impressed, so proud, across the board, Tanner. I mean, just congratulations, buddy, and just keep it rolling.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You got it, brother. Take care. Tanner Bordellini of the Indianapolis Colts, Wisconsin Badgers, and, of course, Kewaunee High School. So that's awesome, man. I was going to ask him how many players are, again, from Northeast Wisconsin now in the NFL. There's got to be six or seven easy, which is an all-time high.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one time when there was like one, and we were like, oh, my gosh, so-and-so from wherever was in the NFL. Now there's six or seven, and these offensive linemen that they grow around here, I'm telling you, they go big time.
Can you believe he had his truck stolen?
Right. I know, there. Right? I didn't know they could still hotwire cars. Yeah.
Well,
did you? I didn't know you could do that. I thought there was some kind of a lock. Mechanism.
He didn't tell you what he was driving.
Yeah.
It could have been a hot wireable car.
Although Todd and I with our Kias, I'm just waiting for mine to get stolen. Yeah. Those are like the easiest to steal.
I mean, people know him, obviously, but I feel a little bit, everybody's calling him, you know?
Oh, you can imagine.
You know, and everybody needs money, these charity things, and that's why I think it sounds like he's going to get set up for that. Get a foundation going, you know?
Yeah. Take his time with it versus,
right.
Yeah. No, funny, I saw this thing of Charles Barkley. I talked about this before. Grant Hill, who, you know, is a great NBA player.
Yeah.
All right. His mom was roommates with Hillary Clinton. Okay. And she became a huge whatever. And she said, she sat him down. She says, Charles, how many cars do you have? Right. I got six.
Goes, I remember that.
You get rid of four of them. Right. You can keep two. One breaks down, you got another one. So, I mean, you need people like, but his mom and
I was going to say, I think his mom would be just fine.
All right, we're going to set a quick break. Mine and the Mayor are going to wrap it up when we come back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Mine on the Mayor getting set to wrap it up here. Man, what a great lineup.
That's fun today.
Kim from Vintage Rose Bakery and Sandwich Shop, where we're going to be there Thursday. Isn't she impressive just in every way?
Yeah. So I fell in love with her.
This is Nikki, of
course.
And
all of their goodness over COVID. And I was the one that texted in about their cookies being life-changing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because, holy man. And you haven't even had the chocolate chip cookie yet, Johnny.
I haven't had the chocolate.
Pano chocolate.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. Their sandwiches sound amazing.
Everything.
Yeah.
And so they stress the ingredients, the quality of the ingredients and the importance and what a difference that makes. And
handmade.
And it's just, it's not full of artificial anything or fillers or yuck.
I don't know if my body can handle that.
Quality
to
goodness.
To just do cold turkey with the chemicals and things that,
and I think it's cool that they're open for sit down, but they also have the drive through.
Yeah.
And I think that's super convenient that people either in a hurry or they're maybe not dressed appropriate to go in. You know, if you're
Johnny and you forgot to grab your belt,
right?
And you can just hit the drive-thru.
Yeah. Yep.
Or you can, if it's lunch hour.
That's kind of gross.
That needs a bell.
I was thinking more you didn't comb your hair, but I mean, that's...
I mean, we're just talking the neck up.
Anyway, that's going to be fun to be there. And I'm so happy. I'm really impressed with just the organizational structure with her and her husband and her mother-in-law. And they just seem to really have...
her mom. His
mother.
Her mom is Rose of... That's why it's Vintage Rose.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we'll get to meet her on Thursday as well.
Right.
So I need you, John Mino, to look me in the eye and to promise me that you will behave yourself.
I promise.
Around our favorite Rosie.
Did you hear me? I kind of...
What?
I did a little... I did a little intel work before that. I asked if they had a liquor license, and she said no. I'm like, well, let's go do the show.
But I guess Adam has a little something under the counter.
We made that
assume
up.
That.
We assume that.
We assume that.
Yeah, I think he does.
With your mother-in-law every morning, it'd be like, oh, yeah.
But they have a very adorable relationship.
We want to
invite
people sounds like Thursday morning.
You want what?
We want to invite people out there, listeners.
Oh yeah. Well, I think that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I bring you on.
But again, it's 41 heading south, Shearing Road. Take a right, and then the roundabout.
So if let's go cardinal directions at this point, because you can take the Shearing Road exit from 41. All right.
To the right.
Then, but
west.
Go west on Shearing Road.
Yes.
Go toward Hobart. Jones Sign.
Jones Sign. Right.
There you go.
All right.
Yep.
Right.
When you are at the roundabout, then go to the north, and it's right there.
So it's the first exit off the roundabout.
Correct.
And it's right there. That is
well,
so easy
you,
to find.
Well, you will encounter, because you get off, you'll go through a roundabout. You get on the other side of the Viaduct roundabout. Again, De Pere must be French for roundabout, because we are...
Yeah.
The township of
okay, but I also said you could take the access road by the BP gas station or gas station
twice
and
around.
Take the access road all the way.
Yeah. There's so many ways.
Yeah.
There's so many Single ways. Lane
that's the way I'm going. Well, I don't care. That's the way I'm going,
Mid-Valley Drive.
You go your way, I'll go my way. And I'll get you there first.
Hey, how did that work out the first time getting to Oshkosh, fellas? I think you'll go, uh-huh. Yeah, shots fired.
Anyway,
I don't even care.
That's going to be fun.
Aside from them, you're good friends with Spencer that was just here.
Yeah.
From the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yep. So, and I was just telling him, it's so awesome because I really have known him forever and a day.
Yeah.
And now he's all grown up and he's married and a baby and beautiful family, successful career. But still, he's just, you know, in my eyes, he'll always just be that.
I still think it's amazing what you told me. That his old teammate, who's in the Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, Danny Jansen.
Danny Jansen. When Danny Jansen was young, his family hosted a member of the Timber Rattlers, who then became a Major League All-Star.
Yep. Adam Jones.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So their family, the Jansen family, was one of my host families when I was with the Timber Rattlers. And they had a couple of great guys for their first season. And their dad, Steve, who is a Chicago Bears fan, that is his only fault in life. And he pulled me aside before I did assignments the next season. And he said, Nick, how about it? How about, like, you know, like a heavy hitter, right? So it just happened. It didn't even, you know, we didn't know that Jonesy was going to become such a big deal.
Right.
And... assignments being what they were, and then Jonesy was great with the Jansen boys.
That's what I mean, growing up with a major leaguer in your house.
Staying in touch.
You know?
Pretty cool.
And then just a few years ago, before Adam Jones retired and Danny was with the Blue Jays, this was before his trade, then they were able to reunite on a big league field.
Unbelievable.
And just so cool.
I think that is so cool.
Yeah, you baseball family.
You know what? I mean, me, knowing me, I would have been a great person for a host family to have.
Would you have?
I think so, don't you? Maybe.
Any thoughts on that, Jim?
Hospitality.
What was that called when the student would come and stay at your house?
Yeah, the exchange.
Exchange. We had that. But
from where?
Oh, I don't know where he was from. I was in high school.
You need somebody with very low expectations.
Good point.
Very low.
That's a very good point. But I have low expectations in life.
Kids are great. And we've had people stay at our house, but they're just in for
an abbreviated amount of time.
They're touring or something, and the
kids would feel like being a host. Awesome. I would feel like you have to put on airs all the time. Like, we're not really like this, but we're going to act like we're. You know what I mean?
There's a little bit of that. But we took up to, you know, to Lambeau Field and that.
Exactly.
I mean, they're here.
Yeah.
They're here for a slice of life. Exactly.
They love awesome. Them.
Anyway.
Me at 19 would have been awesome exchange student. 18, 17.
I think you are still in the exchange program from the UP down here. Send right. them back.
Out of my daughter's bedroom.
Okay.
Happy Tuesday.
You didn't think you were going to hear from the mayor.
Nope.
All right. Thanks, Nikki. Hey, we're back in tomorrow morning. A reminder again. On Thursday, we're going to Vintage Rose Bakery and Sandwich Shop. Hope you folks can join us back tomorrow morning. See ya!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.